Welcome to the sanctuary. It is now time for our Sunday gathering. My name is Reverend Gloria Wells, and now is the time in our service where we greet one another in the sanctuary. Where I am right now in Tampa, Florida, it is a beautiful, sunny summer morning, so I'm definitely lit up, as that song just said. So do greet one another on the board as Lynn plays our opening song. And after the opening song, the next voice you'll hear is the reader for today, Kathy Smith. And welcome to the sanctuary.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
So, Gloria, I am assuming you want me to take the mic and do the announcements. Is that correct? Or am I out of line here? Good morning, everyone. Yes, okay, good. This morning we have four announcements, guys, and pay attention because there's a lot of new stuff going on here in the sanctuary. So the first of our announcements is that this evening, join us in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Awakening Together's quarterly member meeting. Tonight's meeting will be a little different. Regina will go over a couple of items of business. An announcement about this summer's requirement that you re-up your Awakening Together membership, and an update on the Retreat Center fundraising campaign. After that, she will spend the rest of the hour answering questions she has received about Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar's recent interviews. She will look at what appears to be differences in their teachings, and she will discuss areas of concern about their teachings. If there is anything unsettled in your mind about the Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar teachings, please come to the member meeting tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You will have the opportunity to ask questions. Also, stay for the Gina Lake mini-series immediately following the member meeting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The second announcement, we have added the Awakening Together Benevolence Program to the Awakening Together website, and we've added a new addition to the Benevolence Program. In addition to our Benevolence Program for members and Benevolence Program for charitable organizations, there is now a benevolence program for pets. Thanks to a private donation, the benevolence program for pets can grant funds to Awakening Together members with short-term needs for their animals that they cannot financially provide for. The benevolence program for members can grant funds to Awakening Together members to help ensure their primary needs are met. Primary needs are those necessary for physical, emotional, and spiritual survival. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, counseling, etc. The benevolence program for charitable organizations can grant funds to organizations that are involved in serving the greater good, such as feeding the hungry, assisting the poor, housing orphans, caring for mistreated animals, etc. For more information about any of our benevolence programs, go to the Awakening Together website and look under the For Members menu. The third of our announcements, Awakening Together will host its fall retreat this coming October in Colorado Springs, Colorado. There will be three retreats in a row. You can register for one, two, or all three. Our three retreat leaders are Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Straub. Today, I want to share a little about the John Mark Straub retreat. John Mark's retreat is called Living in the Light Play Shop. It will be an opportunity to experience the truth of who we are, beyond beliefs and concepts, in the presence of one who embodies that in the most beautiful way in day-to-day life. When you experience John Mark's contagiously awakened presence, you will receive a boost to your own spiritual journey. His play shop is experiential, uplifting, and joyful. He doesn't just talk about the presence of love that permeates all of creation, but helps each one to experience it directly. John Mark's portion of the fall retreat begins at 6 p.m. on Friday, October 28th with dinner and ends with lunch at noon on Sunday, October 30th. You can learn more about the John Mark Stroud Retreat as well as the Regina Dawn Akers and Brett Haskell Retreats at awakening-together.org under the events menu. Just click 2016 Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs. And the last of our announcements, a new announcement, is that a new program has been added to our schedule this month. Reverend Gloria Wells will be facilitating the Awakening Together Book Club. It's called, and I think it's quite clever and very cute, Between the Lines, which is set to kick off this coming Thursday, June 9th, from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The book club will meet the second and fourth Thursday of each month. The first book for discussion is The Transparency of Things by Rupert Spira. And I love Rupert Spira. During the first meeting, Reverend Gloria will review the intro to the book and give more details on the book club, so you don't need to have the book in hand at the first meeting. All are welcome to join. And those are all of the announcements for today. And so I will release the mic so we can continue with our Sunday service.
And thank you very much, Kathy. That was great. I'm going to read our statement of purpose, and then we'll have an opening song here before we get into our the rest of our service. So our statement of purpose is: we are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. So, Lynn, if you would please play us an opening song. After that song, I will rejoin us with a prayer. Thank you.
Sri Ram.
Elohim.
Children of the light.
Who can touch the stars but those who go beyond the power of the night, knowing that the dawn
shall soon give rise
Yes, yes indeed. We are the children of the light. Someone has typed in the room that the peace of God is shining on us now. And I stand in full agreement with that statement. So please join me now for prayer. And so we call upon this light that we are, this light that shines perfectly, looking in on itself, seeing itself, recognizing itself as each of us. I call upon this light today to shine ever so brightly upon each and every member present or listening in on the radio today. I'm deeply grateful today for all of the people that work together to make sure that this gathering, and not only this gathering, all of the events that Awakening Together lovingly brings and offers up. I ask this light as it shines through this personality, through this being today. I offer my willingness to step aside, to allow, to become empty, so that whatever message needs to come forward is perfectly presented to this holy family. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. So grateful for the opportunity to share, to be, to allow. I'm just deeply grateful for everyone here, and it is my prayer today that this message enhances you or uplifts you or gives you some piece of understanding about what we really are. And so it is. Amen. All right, so right now it is time for the morning reading. Kathy Smith will come back on the mic here and read for us an excerpt from Adi Ashanti's book, which is called The End of Your World, an uncensored straight talk about enlightenment. So I'll release the mic and let Kathy read that for you, and I'll be joining us afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Gloria. Your prayer was so heartfelt. My heart was pounding, and I was teary-eyed, so I appreciated that. Okay, Adyashanti, here we go. The end of your world. Uncensored straight talk on the nature of enlightenment. Spiritual awakening is a remembering. It is not becoming something that we are not. It is not about transforming ourselves. It is not about changing ourselves. It is a remembering of what we are, as if we'd known it long ago and had simply forgotten. At the moment of this remembering, if the remembering is authentic, it's not viewed as a personal thing. There's really no such thing as a personal awakening, because personal would imply separation. Personal would imply that it is the me or the ego that awakens or becomes enlightened. But in a true awakening, it is realized very clearly that even the awakening itself is not personal. It is universal spirit or universal consciousness that wakes up to itself, rather than the me waking up. What we are wakes up from the me. What we are wakes up from the seeker. What we are wakes up from the seeking. The problem with defining awakening is that upon hearing each of these descriptions, the mind creates another image, another idea of what this ultimate truth or ultimate reality is all about. As soon as these images are created, our perception is distorted once again. In this way, it's really impossible to describe the nature of reality except to say that it's not what we think it is. And it's not what we've been taught it is. In truth, we are not capable of imagining what it is that we are. Our nature is literally beyond all imagination. What we are is that which is watching, that consciousness which is watching us, pretending to be a separate person. Our true nature is continually partaking of all experience, awake to every instant, to each and every moment. In awakening, what's revealed to us is that we are not a thing, nor a person, nor even an entity. What we are is that which manifests as all things, as all experiences, as all personalities. We are that which dreams the whole world into existence. Spiritual awakening reveals that which is unspeakable and unexplainable is actually what we are. As I've mentioned, this experience of awakening can be just a glimpse, or it can be sustained over time. Now, some would say that if an awakening is momentary, it's not a real awakening. There are those who believe that with authentic awakening, your perception opens up to the true nature of things and never closes back down again. I can understand this perspective, since ultimately The whole spiritual journey does lead us to a full awakening. Full awakening simply means that we perceive from the perspective of spirit, from the view of oneness, all the time. From this awakened perspective, there isn't any separation anywhere, not in the world, not in the universe, not in all the universes everywhere. The truth is anywhere and everywhere, at all times, in all dimensions, for all beings. It is a truth that is the source of everything that will ever be experienced in life, after life, in this dimension, or any other dimension. From the perspective of the ultimate, literally every thing, be it at a higher or lower dimension, here or there, yesterday, today, or tomorrow, everything is but a manifestation of spirit. It is spirit itself that wakes up. So ultimately, the trajectory every being is on, whether they know it or not, is a trajectory toward full awakening, toward a full knowing, toward a full experiential knowledge of what they are, toward unity, toward oneness. But the moment of awakening may or may not result in a permanent seeing. As I said, some people will tell you that unless it's permanent, the awakening is not real. What I've seen as a teacher is that the person who has a momentary glimpse beyond the veil of duality and the person who has a permanent abiding realization are seeing and experiencing the same thing. One person experiences it momentarily, another experiences it continually. But what is experienced, if it is true awakening, is the same. All is one. We are not a particular thing or a particular someone that can be located in a particular space. What everything simultaneously. So as I see it, it doesn't really matter whether an awakening is instantaneous or continuous. It matters in the sense that there is a trajectory. Nobody's heart will be totally fulfilled until that perceiving from the point of truth is continuous. But what is seen is an awakening sustained or not. And that is the end of the reading by Adi Ashanti, so I will give up the mic. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. And thank you, Kathy. As always, I mean, I truly do appreciate the additional support that you provide during this gathering. And I just want to say that if anyone else is interested in participating in the gathering in the way that Kathy does, please email me. My email address is motivated410@hotmail.com. So let's get into this teaching for today. I want to start the teaching out by outlining our core value for today. The core value that we will, this teaching attempts to highlight is core value number one. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening. which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So that's our core value for today. And I just want to get right into the conversation here because we've had a lot of discussion from various teachers who have we've been so fortunate to have here sharing their knowledge with us, Ellie Ruzdar, Michael Langford, and of course Regina, sharing with us about, and Regina will do more sharing this evening actually with the with that topic and answering questions there. But we've had these great teachers come forward and talk about these really small numbers of people who are actually real truth seekers. So I wanted this conversation, when this topic came up, I just wanted to highlight some of the facets of awakening that, you know, may have come up for you or as we've discussed these topics. The question I want to start out with that I'd like you to hold gently in the mind as this talk proceeds today is this: where do you suppose that curiously small group of sincere truth seekers would go on this plane of existence in order that they, that we might safely remember the truth that destiny beckons us to recall here? Where do you suppose those, that small group of people would congregate? That's the question I'd like you to hold in your mind. And we'll go ahead, we'll come back to that question later in the discussion. And for now, though, let's dive right into what Adi Ashanti is talking about here in this reading. For me, I read this reading several times over the course of the past couple of weeks. I've gone over this reading, I've contemplated this reading, and as a matter of fact, I'd like, I'll send the reading to Lynn, and I'd like the reading posted along with this audio, so that if anyone else is wanting to contemplate some of the words that Adi Ashanti used in this reading, then you're welcome to do that. But the part that I'd like to start out with is, Adia said, full awakening simply means that we perceive from the perspective of spirit, from the view of oneness all the time. So if we were to look at the things that might block us from seeing with this crystal clear view of oneness all the time, what came up for me was the obvious ego, but also the personality. The personality is a word that stems from the Latin word, which means persona, which is a mask. It's what we wear around every day, interacting with other, quote unquote, others. The personality doesn't cease to exist, though. I was actually surprised to learn that during my MPP studies, I had this misplaced belief that when enlightenment occurred, that you would become this walking beam of light that come up to. You know, I had this real, that we really can't perceive that. And most of the effort form can't understand or can't know the formless. We have no real clue what that part of awakening would really look like. But I did have that notion that it would mean a really bright light walking in the world, that all of the personality traits would fall away somehow, and that's just not the way it goes. The personality, what happens is we cease to identify with that personality as who we are. And the same goes for the ego. So the identification there with the personality as who I am, is where the separation comes in. So that personality, we do completely transform our thinking, but that personality is going to hold firmly in place. So there, for me, there was a lot of doubt whether or not, because I didn't see my personality going anywhere, you know, is anything happening here? But as I said, as the teaching progressed with me, I really began to understand that that does not go anywhere. Who Gloria has been, or the personality that's been developed over these 40 some odd years, that's going to remain in place. But I don't identify with that as who I am, is the goal of awakening. So the other part was the ego and the personality. Adi Ashanti, there was a section right before what Kathy read today where he outlined what the ego was. And what he said there was, what we call ego is simply the mechanism, there's that word again, our mind uses to resist life as it is. In that way, ego isn't a thing as much as it is a verb. It is the resistance to what is. And then we also had Bryn Haskell come forward and share with us that this ego was a collection of ideas and beliefs that we believe to be our true identity. So we have a pretty good idea, I think, about what the ego is. I just wanted to highlight that the personality part of that ego as well, which is the personality is a part of the ego as well, but it may not, I really wanted to highlight that. Now, during the course of preparing for this teaching, I ran across a couple of really interesting words that I'm going to share with you today. One of those words was dharma, term that has more than one connotation, actually. It's basically a small word with a big meaning. The general use of the word in Buddhism, though, refers to the teachings of Buddha and the path of enlightenment. One of Buddha's teachings is the three turnings of the Dharma wheel. In the second turning, Buddha talks about sunyata, which means emptiness. So that really sparked my interest when I came across that word sunyata, because that means emptiness, and that's what I talked about last week, about becoming empty and how Holy Spirit revealed that as a purpose for me here in speaking. And I shared that information last week during our gathering. So when the word came up again, as I was preparing, I absolutely wanted to look closer at this word, sunyata. It was my cue to look closer at it. I wanted to see what role it played in this awakening process. So as I stated, sunyata means emptiness. It's often a misunderstood to mean that nothing exists, which is not the case. Instead, it tells us that there is existence. Now, you might be wondering if there's emptiness, what are we empty of? Or what are things empty of? And they are empty of any true nature, inherent existence, independent being. This means that nothing exists apart from causes and conditions, apart from pieces and parts, or naming and conceptual designations. There is no thing that exists by itself under its own power or by its own steam. So if I were to take a bow and a hull and a few other parts and add a propeller, the identity that we would project onto that phenomena would be a boat, right? But if we were to investigate this reality, boat nature, even after they're put together, they don't contain the nature of a boat individually. That propeller is not a boat by itself. The bow is not a boat by itself, and a hull is not a boat by itself. Neither of these parts have that inherent boat nature. In that same way, The small I does not exist on its own. The little self, the ego self that we talk so much about here in the sanctuary, it does not exist on its own. Instead, it's constructed out of other things such as beliefs, judgments, and ideas about who we think we are or who we think other people are, which also don't exist on their own. So we could take either of those parts, either of those beliefs, judgments, or ideas, and they would have no inherent self nature. They don't have a nature on their own. Now, I came across this the founder of Eastern teaching of emptiness. His name is Narayana, and he was the one of the teaching actually. And he says that it's incorrect to say that things exist, but it's also incorrect to say that they don't exist, because all phenomena exist interdependently and are void of self-essence. All distinctions we make between this and that phenomena are arbitrary and relative. So that's what he had to say about this, about whether or not things exist or not. He says that it's incorrect to say that they do. It's also incorrect to say that they don't. So, and it's because of this interdependence of on everything. Everything needs everything else. And most of us perceive reality in that way. Many distinctive things and beings. But if we go back to what Adi Ashanti was saying about his perspective on awakening, we would see that there isn't any separation anywhere, not in the world, not in the universe, not in all the universes, everywhere. The truth is anywhere and everywhere, at all times, in all dimensions, for all beings. So that sounds pretty interdependent to me. If everything is if there isn't any separation anywhere in the world, and that is how this emptiness teaching works, because in becoming and understanding what emptiness really means, it's everywhere. We're empty because nothing has an inherent nature of its own. Those boat parts didn't have any nature on their own, even after they were put together. So even when we add all these beliefs and judgments and ideas about what we think we are and what we think other people, none of those have any steam on their own, any power on their own. Of course, we give those things power by our own light, our own presence, our own awareness. We activate and energize anything we pour that light out on. So, you know, we ultimately do give things and beliefs that kind of power, but in truth, there's none there. Our true nature is sovereign, independent of all phenomena. So, but everything is interconnected. Everything affects everything else. Everything that is because other things are. And the Buddhist term for that phenomena is called interdependent co-arising, which is also a term I was actually quite relieved, honestly, to learn that, you know, my actions, you know, don't, I mean, they work together with everything else that's going on, but there's no one cause for anything. Everything is always feeding into everything else. So that kind of lets us off the hook a little bit, but we still have to be conscious and aware of what we're feeding back into that whole, you know, into this whole big process. So the Buddha put it this way. I found this little thing that the Buddha wrote. He says that when this is, that is. This arising, that arises. When this is not, that is not. This ceasing, that ceases. So you see that those levers are always pulling, you know, and everything is always moving together. And I want to go back to, again, what we are empty of. I mean, what things are empty of is a true nature, an inherent existence, or independent beingness. So, one of the other things that we learned during that reading today is that awakening is not at all personal. There's nothing that the personal self can do to awaken from this itself, because this implies separation, and it reinforces the ego. But we can, however, continue to ripen ourselves, as Regina puts it, in preparation for grace to unlock that potential. Let's look now at a way that we can begin to cultivate some of these teachings in our everyday life. For this, I came across a word very clearly, and that was compassion. Compassion is organic with emptiness. They go hand in hand. Compassion and emptiness are synonymous. But Webster described compassion as the feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick. Compassion is in this way, in the emptiness teachings, is not at all considered a guilt-motivated behavioral requirement at all. Instead, it's a sincere desire that all sentient beings be free from suffering. I'll repeat that definition of true compassion again. In this teaching, the emptiness teaching, compassion is the desire that all sentient beings be free from suffering. So if we look at that version of compassion, it has nothing to really do with that do-gooder, you know, wanting to help. And I'm always careful there in that area because, you know, people on this path, including myself, we typically have these big, huge hearts, right? We're always, you know, looking to help, looking to be of service, looking to offer people what we know to be their truth. That's so typical of us, I think, and of suffering, all suffering. You know, whatever it looks like, however it shows up, it's that desire that none of us suffer, because going back to what we were just talking about that interconnectedness, if there's no separation, then, yeah, if you're suffering, I'm suffering. It's as simple as that. So in wanting all that compassion that I'm talking about wants all people everywhere to be free from suffering, period. Because as we begin to experience ourselves and others as empty of inherent existence, we realize that there is no essential difference between ourselves and others. So we are much more easily wish that they too become free of this suffering, right? We don't, you know, we want everybody to be free of that suffering. But as I was studying root cause inquiry recently, I really did, I understood better the power of questioning. As I went through that process with root cause inquiry, learning that, diving down into what root cause inquiry is, I really did experience the power of questioning versus just making assumptions or going into a questioning thinking that I know what the actual answer is going to be. So after having done that, I'm much more inclined now to want to pose the question. And that's also the suggestion that I have here in this context when we're looking at what compassion means from the emptiness teachings. So rather than go into a situation assuming that I know what this person needs to be okay, especially when it comes to my loved ones, thinking that I know what this particular situation needs. Rather than going there in that form of compassion, what I want to do now is question that. So what would true compassion look like in this situation is one question I could ask. Or how would true compassion express itself here is another question I could ask. See, in this way, I'm disengaging the mind from trying to always figure things out. Again, that personal way of being implies separation. It promotes further it pushes us further apart rather than that all-inclusive oneness and unity to ask a question rather than go in and say, yeah, I'm going to do this, 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 and this in order to correct this problem. No, what would true compassion look like? And then I wait. I wait for that answer to show up, because once we acknowledge that in that way, once we're aware and we're engaging and activating, you know, in that way, then of course, whatever I need to do will come forward. It will reveal itself to me. Whatever role I am to play, if I am to play a role at all, because that's the other thing, is not everything is for you to step forward and interact or interject or correct. It may not be that that's what's needed. Maybe all that's needed is that you be still and recognize that, assuming that we know what a situation requires, would be what I would suggest as a helpful way for us to be truly compassionate. And also, in being truly compassionate, we are also emulating this emptiness, acknowledging that nothing exists in and of itself. Everything is working, you know, together, interdependently. So, one of the effects also that Adyashanti pointed out was there was some good news in that. And that moment of clear seeing that he talked about actually taking place, that the aperture of our awareness can never completely close down again. Once it's been opened a little bit, it never goes back to completely being closed down. In the deepest part of who we are, we just don't forget. So, and I've had those experiences. I've had those experiences of oneness where I could feel my connection, especially when I'm out in nature. I can feel that the connection of myself, this body, and the earth and the birds I can feel that. But it's momentary. I don't go through every waking moment in that way as some enlightened. That's the other part I really wanted to highlight in this teaching, and why this teaching drew me in this reading, because of the abiding and non-abiding that Adyashanti shared here. He's saying that if you've seen it momentarily or you're seeing it every day, all day, you're still looking at the same thing. You know, and of course our goal is to ultimately move in a trajectory, because we're all on that path, whether we know it or not. We're all already on that path, moving in the direction of awakening. And whether we're on that path completely and connected and completely acknowledging our oneness with all things at all times, everywhere, or we're having those momentary bursts of seeing, of clear seeing, it's all, according to Adyashanti, awakening. So when I read that, I thought, the next time that happens, I'm going to really enjoy that. I do, you know, when it happens, I do stop and I acknowledge what's happening there and I, you know, but I mean, I'm going to really consciously enjoy it because I know that I'm being given, just a small sampling of what's truly possible. And the more I'm able to be there in that, enjoying it, when it's happening, you know, I'm just making room for it to happen more and more often, really. So that's the part I wanted to point out there about the effects of clear seeing. It just, we never go all the way back to square one. You know, if we've come up the ladder 10 notches and we have a setback or a something comes up in life to kind of throw us off of where we were, we never go back to just zero. So that, to me, was encouraging. It was encouraging that we just don't, because sometimes that's how it feels. Sometimes it absolutely feels like I've gone back to zero here. We're back at square one, day one. No spiritual enlightenment whatsoever. That's the way it feels sometimes. But in truth, that's not at all what's happening. We are, you know, we are going back to wherever we need to go back to, but it doesn't take away from anything that we've already been able to learn. So, let's go back now to the question that I originally asked you to hold lightly in your mind at the top of this conversation. That question again was, where do you suppose this curious small group of that we've learned about, these 2%ers, these 3%ers, 5%ers, where do you suppose they'd go on this earth in order that they can safely remember the truth of who they are? What I want to suggest to you today is that wherever you are on this path of awakening is just absolutely perfect. And places like Awakening Together, I believe that, and I've heard, I don't only believe this, I've heard Regina share her intentions about, to some degree, about what Holy Spirit was speaking to her when Awakening Together was formed. And I believe that her intention in starting this was to create a place for people who were seeking refuge from the suffering that the belief in separation causes, and that they would find a safe place in Awakening Together and places like Awakening Together. I know that Awakening Together is not the only venue, the only place for this type of undoing to occur safely. There are many places like this. So my thought when I was hearing the small numbers like 2 and 3%, I'm thinking, okay, that's 2 or 3% of everybody, which would mean that's a lot of people. That's more people than those numbers than the mind may initially accept those numbers to be. So whether we're to awaken in this lifetime or not is really anybody's guess, but we're all on the same path going home. And until that happens, for me, I'm going to continue to show up in places like this because this is where I feel safe. This is where I'm able to share what I feel to be the truth, where I'm able to receive information that evolves my consciousness. So whether I'm in the 2 to 3% or not, I still want to be somewhere where I'm moving in the right direction that of truth, where I'm learning to let go of this false belief in the personality or the ego as who and what I truly am. Again, we are sovereign beings, independent of all phenomena. And the more that we begin to see ourselves and other people, quote unquote other people, in that light, that interconnected way of being, the more empty we become, the closer we move in the right direction, because we're all headed there. Whether you're in the 2 or 3% or the 99%, we're all going to the same place. So, that would be my suggestion, is that this is the type of place that people would show up in. And that's why I had you hold that question in your mind. Where do you think these people would go? They would come to places like this. Now, I'm not at all saying, you know, anything, you know, I'm not making any assumptions there. It just stands to reason that places like this is where they'd show up, and this is where we are today. So that is going to conclude my teaching for today. I want to say at this point that Barb will post a link in the room that will allow anyone who feels guided today to give a donation to do so. And then also I'm going to ask Lynn to play us a song to contemplate what we've heard today. And if anyone would like to share after this song, that would be the time for you to do so. So I'll go ahead and let go of the mic. Thank you.
I am happy even before I have a reason. I am full of light.
Okay, and thank you, Lynn, for that song. And now is the time in our service where if anyone would like to share anything, now is the time for you to do so. So I can't really see the names on the view that I have now. But I'll release the mic, and if there's someone who'd like to speak, please do pick it up.
All right. Thank you, Gloria. What a wonderful topic today. And it's like we think alike so much. I love it. But yes, I'm firmly of the belief, and I know what people say about, you know, awakening, who's going to awake, who's going to not. You know, I know there's so many. There's no, there is nobody else. Of course, there's only one that's going to awaken, and that's going to be me. And you can all say the same thing. But this is just what I was talking about before. It's really funny because it's exactly what I was talking about, is the act of true charity of looking at your brothers and seeing that they are much farther along than what you imagine them to be, that we give them an ego, we make up a story, and the story that we make up is my idea of who it is. It's not the Christ, it's my idea of what I'm seeing. And so to go beyond that, to look beyond that, and to see that we are all awakening, we are all awakened in truth. There is no difference between any one of us. And as, you know, Jesus said, you know, I'm the same as you. I'm your older brother, and, you know, I was able to do that. Now, you know, the question, you know, when did he do that? Everyone assumes it was 2,000 years ago, but actually it was at the very beginning of time. it was when the tiny man idea occurred, and all of this occurred. It already happened. It wasn't 2,000 years ago. There was not, you know, any more than there is a Lynn sitting here talking to you. There was not a Jesus walking around in the world, because the world does not exist. This is the one thing that we keep forgetting about and keep going back to: how can we fix the world, change the world, do something in the world? The only thing that I can do is to accept the atonement for myself, to become awake myself, and to worry about myself. Worry about myself, not worry about you. I just look at you and see that you are already there. And if you're there, I'm there too. And, you know, if I do that, there's not a person in the world that I look up to as being far above me. There's not a person I look at and say is below me. I see that we're all the same. And those of us who see that we're all the same may think that we're different. But we're really not. And that's the irony of it all. There's no differences between any of us, other than, you know, I can do something you might not be able to do, but that doesn't make us different. That just gives us different thoughts, different skills. That's it. So, Jay, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Gloria. It was beautiful teaching, and thank you, Lynn, for those comments. I really love the interdependent co-arisings teaching. It has given me so much inspiration and so much reminder of our oneness. Now, if you are feeling disconnected in any way, that's such a great practice to just sit there and look at the car you're driving, or take a moment to look at the clothes in your body and realize that the people in the factory that sewed those clothes together, and the material that came from the cotton fields, and the people that harvested the cotton, and then there's the machines that we use to harvest the cotton. And you can just start going in any direction and just feel this amazing sense of being a part of something larger than this small little self, which, as Gloria and Lynn have pointed out, is just nothing but a collection of our thinking, our thoughts, our opinions, our judgments, which really aren't much of a thing. You know, as the Course in Miracles teaches, they're just the blowing leaves in the wind that are flitting around in all these different directions. And the Course has come back into my practice, because I've been part of helping to facilitate a MPP course on, a six-week course on the Course in Miracles, and we're going through the first, you know, X number of lessons, I think it's 40 lessons, you know, and everything, especially lesson 15, talks about my thoughts or images that I have made, you know, and that so fits with what is being shared, and that's really current in my practice right now, is just really sinking in the idea that I have believed these thoughts are real. You know, this thinking stream is the home of the ego, and that very thinking stream is what leads me to feel separate, because I believe these thoughts because they're images. I think they're real. And that's the dupe, that's the first con that we buy into to go down the path of Pandora's box, because buying that con is what brings us to that separation. And things like with what Gloria practiced, is teaching about regarding, hey, let's come back to the awareness of our interconnectedness, and you know, like what Lynn said about the world's not even here. Let's let those things sink in and let us just feel this connectedness again. And you know, that's the real key, and that's I love interdependent co-risings. It's very dear to my heart as a practice. Okay, giving up the mic for you, Regina.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. And we're about out of time, so I will keep my comments very, very brief. I just want to say, Gloria, that was a perfect lead-in into tonight's meeting. As I mentioned, we've had these interviews by Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar in the sanctuary the last couple of months. And I have received more questions and concerns from people on these two interviews than anything else since we've been awakening together, except for maybe when we first started. There were questions and concerns about starting. But I would say they have really stirred the pot. And it's wonderful to have the pot stirred. I don't think we want to become too comfortable in our beliefs. And I would encourage people not to, you know, search for something that can make me comfortable again, a lifesaver. You know, I would encourage people not to do that. Let this pot be stirred. But tonight, I will talk more about the teachings from Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar, specifically regarding the questions that I've heard repeatedly. It's been the same questions over and over and over again. So it's like three key questions pretty much asked by many people. So it's very focused. If there's anything at all that is unsettled or stirred up or that you feel confused about or frustrated about or anything at all regarding Michael Langford and Ellie Ruzdar's teachings, I highly encourage you to come tonight to the member meeting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Also, if you would just enjoy a bit of a review on what they said, you know, because I will be going over some of what they said as well. So, again, the member meeting tonight starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, and I look forward to seeing you all there.
Okay, perfect. And thank you. Thank you for sharing, Lynn, Jay, and Regina. And I just posted my email address in the room in case anyone wants to follow up with me about sharing in the gathering the way Kathy did today. I just want to close by saying thank you all for showing up. Thank you for being who you are, because who you are is feeding into who everyone else is being. And so, and I know, Jay, interdependent co-arising was one of my most favorite teachings from MPP. So, it just seemed only appropriate for me to talk about that. So, and I'm glad that it will,